Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Another episode of Bootstrap Web with Brian and Jordan. I am Jordan, and you?
I would be Brian.
You are Brian.
How's it going?
I'm good, man. I'm in my hometown in Long Island. I'm at my dad's house in the basement office that I kind of like grew up in business with. It's always a trip to be back home and all these like crazy memories. So it feels good.
That's cool. You know, we were just talking before the recording. It's such a small world. So you're in East Meadow, Long Island, the town, and I am going to East Meadow, Long Island tomorrow with my family, which is where my father lives as well. I'm not from East Meadow originally, Rockville Center, but he's in East Meadow now. We're going down there to do some Father's Day, but we're going to just miss each other by a couple hours.
Yeah, by like an hour. Yeah. Yep. So we're officially, you know, on our New York tour for 2 weeks. We're going to be here seeing family, seeing friends. My sister-in-law is having a baby, so we're here for a good reason, kind of having fun and, you know, just trying to manage working along the way in a way that gets things done but doesn't take away too much from family time. So definitely a tricky balance. Like, I feel like I should be working like 15 hours a day, but I never want to do that. So I'm kind of, you know, like other people who work on their own, you kind of force yourself like, no, I'm not going to say no to this thing, this travel, this opportunity, this family thing, but just figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, is it just the weekend, or are you there for like a full week, or what?
So we got here 2 days ago, and got here yesterday. I don't even. I'm already lost track of time. Got here yesterday morning, and then we're here for a few days. Then the city for a few days. Then Connecticut for a few days. Then
okay.
Back.
Legit. Like, it definitely cuts into a whole like work week or two.
Yeah. So, you know, my wife is cool and she understands. So we do our maneuvering, like going from, let's say, the city to Connecticut. We do that stuff at non-working times. So either at night or on the weekend, or we kind of let the workday finish and then have dinner with friends and then hit the road to go back to Brooklyn, that type of thing. So it requires a little bit of, you know, time management.
Yeah. Jumping around. And you got the little kids. So,
yeah, but it's funny. The thing that happens when you go from West Coast to East Coast time is like you at least in my head, you like buy yourself time.
Yeah,
so I didn't have to wake up super early. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, it's 11:30, basically 8:30 a.m. right now. I'm way ahead of schedule.
Yeah, exactly.
How about you? What's going on your front? We can jump in. You want to do that thing where we talk about what we're going to talk about? So yeah,
sure. So so I've got about four things on my list today. The first is a KPI dashboard. I've been building out a really just a whole like upgraded KPI dashboard for me to look at for my audience ops business. I spent way longer than I expected to spend on it. It took me like 2 weeks to get it to a point where I wanted it, but that's basically done now, and I'll talk about that. And then a little bit of ops calendar notes or updates. Anyway, just some things that are going on with that, and then some audience ops team stuff, which seems to just be a never-ending thing, you know, hiring more people and getting them trained and the implications of all that on my time and feeling backed up and all that. And then just an article by Josh Pickford I caught last night about being a solo founder. I thought he really nailed it, and good to bring that one up and maybe talk about it for a sec.
Nice. I haven't had a chance to read that. I used to be a solo, now no longer solo, so I'm very interested to hear on that.
Cool. How about you?
Cool.
What's your list?
My big theme is that I am just wrong just continuously. I just keep being wrong and learning from it, though. Yeah, the first big thing that I was wrong about is where to focus in terms of, like, should we push on marketing or should we take care of things at home first? The next thing is hiring, and that kind of goes along with where to focus. But hiring is hard in such a small company where each role wears many hats. I've had a hard time just even describing what this role is. Like, yeah, you do some sales and then you do some documentation and then you do a little support. So it's very hard to identify someone with those skills. So hiring, and then support. Customer support has been a big challenge for us. It's been a big challenge for me personally, and I've kind of done a lot of things the wrong way on that front, and I'm trying to correct them, so I can kind of talk about what I learned along the way there.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's start it off. Yeah. So KPI dashboard, key performance indicators, right? Audience ops, and I'm talking about the service side of audience ops here. It's gotten to a point now where like close to 2.5 years into the business here. And I'm now in this mindset with this business of like, it is all about growth. I don't expect it to be a super fast growing thing, not going for hockey stick growth type of stuff, but I am trying to double it or triple it in the next 6 to 12 months, right? That means I'm not so much focused on crafting our product, our productized service. Like that's set now and it's been doing well. We've got a really good system, really good people. We've got well-defined roles. We've got really good processes. We've got plenty of clients who've been with us, many of them for this entire 2 years or a year or longer. So they're happy. I think our retention and is really good too. Our closing rate is pretty good. I think it's really just about driving more leads and traffic and optimizing those funnels. And in order for me to really know what's working, know which levers I need to push and pull, I need to have a clear and easy visual into what are our key numbers at any given moment, but also what did the past 3 months look like and how can I project the next 3 months and make smarter data-driven decisions, right? Because I'm actually writing a whole big article about this right now. I'm hoping to send it out to the list on Monday. But for me personally, like I come from a background as like a designer, kind of creative person, visual thinker, you know. So spreadsheets, numbers, data crunching, that has never been my strength, you know. And every time I've just always felt more comfortable operating on like gut feel, instinct. I can get by with that, but I'm also very blind.
Yeah, there's a limit.
There is a limit, you know. Ourselves. And looking back on really the last 8 months or so, I can definitely point to times when, you know, the business suffered because I made poor big picture decisions because I didn't have the data right in front of me.
Right.
You know.
So your KPI dashboard effectively, is it focused mostly on A, the lead side of things, and B, you made a visual also?
So it is, I broke it down into four big sections. The top section is customer metrics. So how many active customers do we have? What's our MRR? How many cancellations? How many new signups per month? How many cancellations? Churn rate, that sort of stuff. And then the next section down is what I call our sales pipeline. So how many new leads we got in this month? What is our close rate? Oh, sorry. It's still at the top, the customer section. So I mentioned active clients, MRR, new client signups this month, cancellations this month. And then I have graphs showing that the trend lines of those. I also have average customer lifetime in months, customer lifetime value, average customer MRR, and the customer churn rate. And I've got a graph of that. Then moving down, I've got the sales pipeline section. And so in here, it's just how many new leads we got this month. And by lead, I mean, for this business, it's people who filled out the form to request a consultation and they eventually get a sales call with me. So how many new leads? What is the close rate on those leads? How many convert to clients? The average number of days to close. And to be honest, that number is like a lot better than I had just assumed that it was. I figured clients take like 30 days or more to close. In fact, like they're closing in less than 8 days from the time they become a lead.
The surprising pieces of data are the
best.
I
know. It's amazing. and then I have a number of like unclosed leads from the past 90 days.
So you have like potential.
MRR. Yeah. Like kind of how many people are currently in the pipeline. And 90 days might be a little bit too long of that window, but anyway.
I think you should put some Google AdSense on this page, considering how many times you're going to refresh it every day.
Right. and then my next big section down is traffic. And so I'm looking at total visitors in the past 30 days and just a graph of traffic over time. How many visitors to the homepage? And for this site, our homepage is our sales page. That's
right.
It's like homepage, pricing page, sign up page. It's all the same.
Yep. I like that.
So that's why I care about visits to that page. And then I have new visitors. So like first time visitors, to the site, how many are returning visitors, and then I've got a list of our top performing pages, a list of our top traffic sources, so like organic, referral, email, cost per click, social, and then I've got a graph of search traffic and a graph of paid traffic. So those are my traffic numbers that I'm looking at. And then moving down, I got a big section for email list. So I'm looking at total number of email subscribers, how many new subscribers we got this month, how many unsubscribes we've had this month. So within the email list, I want to know how many people requested our free samples. That's kind of a very much like a sales focused lead magnet, if you will. And then I've got our primary lead magnet that I call it. That's our video workshop, how many people opted into that. And then our kind of a secondary magnet, our email course, how many people opted into that.
And I've got so you've got it connected all the way back into the emails and trying to figure out what's generating the leads.
Yeah. I mean, these are just the KPIs. Like I want to know, you know, like I think there was a period of about 6 months ago or so where our traffic was pretty high, but like our email list was stagnant. So it's like, that tells me like, well, not many people were converting and that led to fewer leads in the funnel. So you can start to make connections between these big pieces. But, you know, building this thing out was, before I had this dashboard, I had a different thing, which was just a Google spreadsheet. Basically since the early months of Audience Ops, I had a basic spreadsheet that I updated manually. Like, it was kind of ridiculous where like every new client that signed up or canceled Audience Ops, I would go in there and manually add their information to a row in the spreadsheet and then just keep like a tally of how many customers we have and how much MRR we had at any given time. And like,
look, at least you were keeping track of it. That's like better than 90% of people.
Yeah. You know, and I could get some basic numbers off of that, but it was far from complete. It was totally error prone and all that. So, and like all these other numbers like traffic and email numbers and leads, like those were all in separate places. Like I could go into Drip or I can go into Google Analytics or I can look at this and look at that, but having them in their separate silos made it impossible to like draw any real conclusions and connections. Right. So like I started thinking about that and I was like, you know, I think it's time for me to actually get something like this up and running. And I figured that I would spend maybe a day or two on hooking all this up. I ended up spending literally like 2 weeks on this and then hiring a guy in India to custom program some stuff for me. And like,
yes.
So, perfect. So what I'm using for the dashboard itself is Gecko Board. Which is a pretty cool app. It's been around for a while to create a nice looking dashboard with some pretty graphs, right? So, I mean, Gecko Board has a bunch of integrations for it, but the problem that I found was that like they're all pretty basic. Like even like stuff like the Stripe integration, it'll just show you the number of active customers. You can't really slice and dice the data from there. Same thing with like Google Analytics. You know, it doesn't give you everything. And Drip, like it doesn't even have an integration for it. So what I had to do was I heavily used Zapier to get all the data from those apps into Google spreadsheets. And then I did some really heavy calculations within the Google spreadsheets, formulas and some custom scripts to keep a monthly historic tally of these.
Look, as long as we get an update in like 6 months where you're like, that dashboard changed the whole business, it was worth whatever time I put into it, that's what we're gonna like put a little pin on this.
I know it's amazing. Part of the challenge for me is that I am not a programmer, right? If I could write custom JavaScript functions, like this would have taken me maybe 2 days instead of 2 weeks. And of course, so
should you have hired someone in the first place instead of trying to do it yourself?
Well, yeah, like I wasted 3 days trying to Google for scripts that I can copy and paste from Stack Overflow into Google Apps. And yeah, that, and then I got frustrated with that and I was like, screw it. I'm just going to spend $30 and hire 2 developers in India, but give them both the task and 24 hours later, they did what I was trying to do myself. Yeah. You know,
that's another little lesson. Look, dashboard's one of these things that it's almost certainly going to end up custom.
Yeah. And just to be specific, and if, in case anybody's wondering about what I'm talking about here, it's somewhat easy, or easy for me to at least hook it up myself, to get data from places like Drip and Stripe and Google Analytics, hook it up through Zapier, and then grab those numbers and put them in a Google spreadsheet. Like, that's easy enough to hook up in real time. But the hard part is getting the monthly history. I can hook up and see the customer count today, but I didn't have an easy way inside Google spreadsheets to say, okay, what was the customer count every month for the past 24 months? And like, and record that. And for that, like, you can't just use a formula in a cell. You have to actually have a script that runs on a monthly basis, grabs the current value, and then records that snapshot. And so I thought that would be a simple thing to do. And I spent 3 or 4 days Googling it. And it turns out it requires a somewhat complex, at least for me, like, JavaScript function script to run. So I got that, and then I'm taking that data from the spreadsheet, putting it into a nice graph into Gecko Board. And then it's nice because I could just open up the Gecko Board. It's got a mobile app. I could check it out on the go. No more like manually inputting customer data. It's just every time a customer is added in Stripe, it's updating. Every time a customer is canceled, it's updating. Leads are updated, traffic, it's all automated. So yeah. That's it.
All right. Well, at least now you're flying with the more lights on.
Yep, exactly.
Cool. Well, I guess the first thing for me to talk about is kind of, I want to be where you are in looking around saying, okay, the system is delivering the promise and the value. Customers are happy. And now it's time for marketing. And I really want to be there. I just have had to admit that we're not there yet. I have been really stressed and really kind of down on myself on the fact that we are not doing more marketing. And so for the past, I'd say, month or so, as we've grown, we keep growing quickly, and I just get more stressed. And it's unhealthy. A, it's not good for me. It's also not good for the team to be like working for a year to get here, and now it's finally here, and Mr. Bossman is like all emotional and like pissed off, you know, instead of being like, guys, you're doing an amazing job, which I need to be doing more of. And so I started asking around because I felt a little lost on it. I started asking mentors, investors, people in the Starbucks office, the accelerator that we're in Portland, just kind of talking to people like, yo, what am I supposed to be doing here? And the response back from people that I respect has been like universally the same. And it's been, relax. If you don't do any marketing for the next 30 days, there's nothing wrong with that. You're basically, the response was, you are growing faster than most, and you should be really happy about your growth. And what happens is that growth is the best concealer of problems.
Yeah. And you have all this organic interest and demand for what you're doing. So,
right.
Obviously you can't rely on that forever, but while you're getting the product to where it needs to be, you still have that organic inbound lead flow that's just keeping it moving.
Right. When I saw that and I see it, the inbound, I say to myself, think about how much bigger it could be if we actually were pushing also. So I want to double it, you know, and because I'm most responsible for that side of things, the marketing side of things, then I want to do a good job. And I'm looking at that, I'm almost saying like, I'm not really doing that much for the inbound, so I shouldn't be giving myself that much credit for what's happening. If I could push and then double it, then I could kind of like feel like I'm doing the right thing.
And you're saying you're frustrated because you can't be working on the marketing stuff because the product and your systems aren't ready to handle that capacity? Or is, in that case, shouldn't your job today be on improving the systems?
Yes, it should.
You know,
it should, but I wasn't feeling that way. But I kept getting the same response from from other people and from just basically the growth is concealing any issues we have because we're just adding in a lot of MRR. And yeah, we're losing a decent amount, but we keep adding more than we're losing. So if you just look at it that way, in my head, it was like, all right, let's just keep growing. But in reality, the internal systems are being strained. The support system, the onboarding systems, how we satisfy people. I keep saying the word burst basically. So basically, I'm going to stop saying basically, and we're going to basically move on. Okay. What I have decided after being hit over the head with it, 10 times from people that I really respect, and then going back and looking with a different perspective at our current situation, is I've had to say, okay, chill with the marketing. We got to get things on the home front in order. So I had put a job post up for like a salesperson, someone who's going to be focused on sales and marketing with me. And I took that down and put up a new job posting. It was like a declaration. It was like an admittance, right? Actually, no, we don't want to work on that. We want to work on this other thing first. So it's been
where did you post?
I posted in Portland. So there's a switch, a site called Switchboard. There's a site called Silicon Forest. I posted on Craigslist because that's very active. I posted on Indeed. So a bunch of job sites, basically. And I'll stop saying basically. It's like a buzzer. So yeah, that's been the biggest shift over the past week. And now I feel happier. I feel less stressed. I'm more able to convey to my team how happy I am with them. We have gone 60x in the amount of revenue that we're processing on behalf of our merchants. So yeah, 60x in like 60 days. So the system is working, the product is working. What we need to do is work harder and smarter on making sure that our existing customers and our existing signup flow are satisfied and happy, instead of just masking over it with just doubling the trials.
I wanted to ask more about the hiring piece. Like what is the problem that this person is going to be solving right now?
So this is let me go to the job posting right now, and I'll show you how confused this is. First, I didn't even know what to call it, like the title itself. Right? So profile, let's look at this. We're going to have a nice laugh.
Have found that like just changing the wording or the job title just really changes up the whole crop of applicants that you get, because people identify themselves in a certain way.
You're right. And that's been one of the biggest challenges. No one thinks of themselves the way I described. Right. So when I hired for customer success last time, I had like 30 applicants. This, I haven't had nearly the same response. It's starting to pick up more. Okay, so this is called hiring for inbound sales. So inbound sales, right? So I'm trying to convey that you're not out there prospecting. You're just dealing with the inbound flow. So inbound sales / success role at fast growing SaaS company. Okay, so you'll be responsible for one, helping new customers get set up and comfortable with the product. So basically onboarding. Number two, answering questions from prospects. So pre-sales, creating product documentation. So identifying when you get the same question 10 times on how do I do this? Creating a document, writing new feature announcements through email and blog posts. Because that right now I do whenever we have a new deployment every week or 2 weeks. So now we're on 2 week schedules instead of 1 week schedules. We let everyone know our current trialing and active users. We let them know what's new in the product. And if a feature is important enough, we can write a blog post for it and send it out to the email list. Then managing social media accounts, because we have no presence whatsoever. We're not like projecting out into the world all the stuff we're doing. And then hosting product demos for when someone requests it and they say, hey, can I get a demo? I want to say yes, but I personally have run out of time to do demos. So that is a very confused list of responsibilities.
I think some of those things should be broken out and not the same person doing them.
I think so too. But right now we can afford to hire one person. We're hiring two more on the dev side, and on the marketing sales side, right now we can afford to hire one.
I would say most of those things that you listed can be the one person.
Right.
And
everything but the sales is my guess.
Well, first of all, I would, I guess it is sales because they're like pre-sales questions they have to answer. But the thing that I question is managing social media. I don't think that person should be doing that. And maybe even writing the big feature release blog posts. I think that should maybe be you.
The feature blog posts, I agree. The quick little blurbs on Intercom. What ends up happening is, hey guys, we have a new release. Here are the three new things that are new. And oftentimes, all three of those require a document in our docs to be written out on how to use that.
Well, I think that this person should write documentation based on the most common questions that they're hearing. And that same person can do the product demos. And that same person is familiar enough through the demos and the writing documentation that they can certainly answer pre-sales questions on Intercom, right? So I think all of that should be the same person.
Right. What do you have any feel for what that role is called? Is that customer success?
You know what? I feel like just including the word sales in the title might be misleading, even though technically they are responsible for closing sales.
Right. You know, I didn't want to not mention that.
You know, because and I think that might attract salespeople, and that might not be who you need.
Well, I've gotten a mix, and what I've told people is, it depends on which direction we go. I put that job post out 2 weeks ago, and over the past week, we have come to the conclusion. Like, okay, conclusion. We need more help on the support side. So the salespeople, I've spoken to some great salespeople, but they're not going to be happy in that role. They've been doing sales for the past 5 years and with a quota and demos and leads and a funnel and right. They're not going to be happy.
Yeah. I would keep sales out of the title for the job post, but you could certainly say like one of the bullet points is like answering pre-sales questions and doing demos with leads in our pipeline. When you say demos, are you talking about like workshops or like one-on-one?
One-on-one, but it is not sales. It is just a literal demonstration of the product. It is, here's how it works. It either sells itself or not. There's not much convincing and selling happening.
Right. Yeah, I would do, I always question this whole job title of customer success. I just feel like that's getting thrown around way too much these days. I don't even really know what the fuck it means, but like, and I think because it gets thrown around so much, it's making everybody unclear as to what type of person is a customer success person, what level are they, and when does a company actually need a customer success? So, I mean, but at the same time, I guess that's kind of what you need.
so we are getting into the muck of the difficulty in hiring for something that you're going to wear a bunch of hats. You're not just going to do one thing. You can't be too experienced because then it's too expensive. You can't be that inexperienced because then I have to teach you how we
accomplish. Maybe call it like a customer support lead, something like that.
We have a customer support lead, and he's amazing.
Okay,
I know. So this is what I mean. It's been a challenge. So all the different things around this, from the job post, but the much more important thing in the larger lesson is the take care of home base first before marketing. That's really the conclusion of all these different things. And now, sure, it's hard to figure out who to hire and how to hire them and what to call and all that. But the much more important decision was made, you know, just being hit in the forehead repeatedly by other people saying, I really think you should consider taking care of home base before marketing, and me dismissing it. And then eventually, okay, I get the point. I'm wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, in terms of like your job, like that's your job now. It's not to push on marketing. It's to get your systems nailed down and the right people in the right places to get the company feeling confident enough to, okay, we can, and we should triple our size by next week.
Right. It's a like, change in role. I'm sure very similar to the way you experience from building audience ops with your hands and then all of a sudden backing out and then continuing to back out. It's a change in role.
Yeah. Yeah. So just, I guess the brief update, which is pretty similar to what you were just talking about on my end, about a week and a half ago, we brought on two new project managers at the same time. I decided to hire two instead of one because, well, A, we just need two. But B, in the past, I found that with project managers especially, it's a really hard job to learn and get up to speed. It takes like literally months for a PM to get up to speed. And we found that our PMs tend to churn out. So figured I'd hire two. But both actually are off to a really great start. I'm pretty confident that they'll both stick with us for a while. And so that's good, but it has clearly just pulled hours of my time in the past week of just answering question after question after question and trying to train them. And we have training. We have a whole internal training course for them. I've got our internal team manager who's helping with training. We've got our other project managers helping with training. But at the end of the day, a lot of these questions get to me. And I want to be really, like, our project managers are some of the most important people. They're client facing. So I need to make sure that I'm giving them the best practices and giving them the right training, you know, straight from me. So I care about spending the time with them, but it has caused my inbox to pile up and my other projects to get backed up. And
feel the worth of a great employee.
And it's also very hectic. Like, they have so many questions that come up. It's just pulling me. Like, suddenly I get a Slack message that I got to stop what I was doing, break out of that, give them an answer, and then, you know, repeatedly throughout the week. And it's, but I think it's still productive though. And we're moving along. And now, like,
there's going to be a period of knowledge transfer.
Yeah. And I knew this going in, but I think we'll be better for it and we'll have more capacity to take on more clients. But then the other thing that's popping up now is we've been signing up a bunch of clients and we are running out of capacity with writers. So now I need to hire another writer, which is, you know, every time I hire someone new, I know that it takes a good 2 or 3 weeks to just get them onboarded before they're even able to work on any client work. And so,
I always have to hire before the revenue gets there.
I know it's like a lesson that I have to keep learning the hard way. And we have a huge Trello board filled with applications from writers, like hundreds of them. But and so basically whenever this happens, I first go back to that pile and look at the people who I saved last time around, which was like three or four months ago. But then the problem is, okay, let's invite those guys and gals to interviews, but now they've already taken a full-time job somewhere, or like,
so rude of them to not just wait for us.
I know, right? They should just be sitting around waiting for my call. Yeah, so that's been going on, but I think we're just it's getting better now, and those new PMs are going to be taking over, you know, managing some clients starting next week, and so that's pretty good. I guess the only last thing I wanted to mention was Josh Pickford's article on being a solo founder over on the Barometrics blog. I thought he really, you know, nailed it. Just talking about the challenges of being a solo founder. Obviously, I'm a solo founder, and I completely resonated with everything he was saying. We're just going to link it up in the show notes for you guys to check it out.
What's it about, though? Is it just challenge the?
Yeah. So I think he actually had some pros and cons. Like, there are some pros. You get to like move faster, and there's less drama. There's you have a clearer direction because it's coming from one person. But frankly, the cons outnumber the pros, and I totally agree. I mean, a big one is like he wrote you get tired of making so many decisions, so like just decision fatigue, like even like little decisions, big decisions, it is super super tiring. Everything comes back to you. You don't, brainstorming ideas, that's a big one. Like, you don't have, like, for you have Ben, you guys can go back and forth and even push back on each other on ideas, and I don't have someone like that.
That can be exhausting too.
Yeah, but you know what? Like,
different thing.
Because I've got a team that I could throw ideas around with, but at the end of the day, we go with whatever I wanted to do, you know, because they're not partners; they're not on the same level. Yeah, and you know, just loneliness, and like it's easy to make bad decisions. You know, and he has some tips, like you should be in communities of other founders, mastermind groups. You know. And give more autonomy to your team to have ownership over certain decisions so you can delegate those. I've been trying to get better at that. Prioritize mental and physical health, which I'm always trying to get better at and kind of struggling with. Yeah, and you know, I guess just two tips of my own, having been you know, solo founder and struggling with it, but I think getting more and more comfortable with it over the years. Two quick things is, one, I've just become like a relentless note taker. So literally every day, multiple times a day, I am in my notepad. I use the Bear app for this, bullet point list after bullet point list.
Really? Do you ever go back and read it, or is it just
yeah,
for the act of doing it helps also?
Both, because it helps me make decisions. Because again, that decision fatigue thing, it's like there are so many big decisions to make, and I don't have somebody who's truly on my level. I can go to my mastermind group and friends like you and other people, like, but like, you're not in my business day to day. And so I use my notes to literally just get it out of my head and onto paper. And when I have to write it down, I feel like, even though nobody else is going to read this, I feel like I have to like make the case. Because like, if I'm writing it down, like what I'm writing has to make some level of sense, you know? So I have to kind of like write out my arguments for deciding one way or the other, or usually I write out both arguments and then I read it and I'm like, okay, one is more obvious than the other at this point. So I'm constantly doing that. And also I'll like write and rewrite the same note multiple times as my thinking changes. Just my other tip is to same deal with the decisions, just like make more decisions faster. That's my big thing, is like, I used to just stew on decisions. If I don't know, then I would just wait and maybe I'll get more information. And if I just give it more time, and that just makes it harder and harder. And it kind of drives me crazy. And so what I've learned is like, it's better to just decide fast. And it doesn't matter if you're, obviously it matters if you're right or wrong, but you're much better off making more decisions as fast as you can, because the more decisions you make, the better you get at making decisions and the faster that you get. And it's a cycle that just helps and it keeps growing. So
I buy that, but I have a hard time. I don't stew around decisions for so long. What I do is the half measure. Well, let's do this because that satisfies one part of the decision, but it still leaves the other decision open for later. And that's just as bad.
I got that to a point now where it like really, really bugs me when I've already made a decision and then something comes back into my plate. Like, wait, no, like I already decided that. I don't want to have to think about it again. Like,
Don't bother me
with the same decision again.
Right. Yeah. But the reality intrudes. We have made the decision to not do custom work for this period. But then this morning I got off, I didn't even notice who I was having a demo with. And then I looked at their email and was like, oh shit. Like, let me get my serious game on. And then all of a sudden you're talking to a big potential customer, and it's hard not to say, yeah, we can do that for you. No problem. Cause I want your money and your credibility. So it's tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tricky balance, but,
all right, man. Well, we got to call it a day. What I want to say is basically, thanks for listening.
Yep. thanks for listening to our ranting. And yeah, we'll be back at it another one.
Cool. Talk to you soon.
All right. See you.